Proverbs 18:21 says the following: the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk, will reap the consequences. So those who love to talk, good luck. But you know, just life and death comes through what we say. And I think sometimes we must just be careful what we say. Proverbs 15 verse 4 says, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Another powerful scripture there. Proverbs 12 verse 18 says, some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. There was another one. The lips of the godly speak helpful words, but the mouth of the wicked speaks perverse words. You know, sometimes I think when we, as we journey through this life and as we consider what we say and, you know, just our walk before God, I think it's apt for us to just realize that we need to be careful what we say. It's that thing of being slow to speak. Now we all, I don't know about you, but don't always get that right. You know, speak sometimes is the way to go, and then think later. And I guess the skill is to learn to first think, be slow to speak. But may we, when we speak, and even as we journey with God in this ever-changing world, and this, you know, where things can go look different the next day so quickly, may we draw from the well of God's word and rather speak through that than just say what the world is saying already. And listen, saints, just think of this, and maybe this will help you, because it definitely helps me. You see, I used to be of this world. You used to be of this world. So we agreed with the world. We looked at the world through the world's lenses. But I'm no longer that person. I am a son of God. My life is hidden in Him. That which I draw from comes from the throne. And I can no longer engage with this world from a worldly perspective. I have to engage with it from the place of authority that I am a son of God. That I speak by the Spirit of the Lord. That I can call those things that be not as though they were. That I have authority to change things. Saints, when we walk into a room, when we walk into a situation, it should change. Because you carry the very presence of God. And yes, the world is currently looking a bit interesting, right? But if I remember correctly, at some point, a couple of months ago, we said the same thing. So it seems like this world is just doing its thing. And like I said when I prayed earlier, you know, I'm so aware that revelation is going to happen. Whether you and I like it or not. But you know what? We can go through this life as sons and daughters, walking in that anointing, walking in that authority. Don't just take things at face value. Stop it. My machties. You read something, you go, what? And we treat it like truth, and it's not. We have an enemy of our souls, and he wants to still kill and destroy. He wants to take out this world, man. Why? Because this world is about people. He wants to kill people. He wants them not to have fellowship with God. But we carry that presence. We carry that anointing. When you walk into your work, it should change. Is this a hard saying? And you're thinking, Gwebus, but you don't know my boss. Or that woman that sits next to me. Or that man. Just to make it equal. But I think even through the worship songs and so on, can we just hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, and even Hagen's message? Can we not make less who Jesus is? And the power and the authority that comes with that name. Amen. When you speak the name of Jesus, demons go. Things change, situations change. If you feel your situation is too much, speak Jesus. You know, I said to someone, I think last week, who's struggling with something, I said, go do yourself a favor. Go find all the scriptures that relate to your situation. Stick them up everywhere. Just not your front window of your car, please. Or the side ones. Maybe you want to see where you're going to go. But stick them up. Put them in the toilet, for goodness sake. And when you sit there, you know, when you think about your life, when you think about your situation, quote that scripture. Say, devil, there's a rubbish. And this is the truth. Draw the sword. A sword in a sheath means nothing. It just hangs there. It does nothing. It just looks beautiful. All the men would want to draw sword, you know, carry swords these days. Because we want to look mean. But I tell you, when you draw a sword, it means you are at war. It means that you are serious. And when I draw the word of God, it means I'm serious. Stop regurgitating. Stop agreeing with the devil about your situation. Can I just say, we too have situations. Because we're the pastors doesn't mean that we are exempt from situations. We have to do exactly the same thing. When we pray together at night, we have to go, shield of faith, bar. I'm going for the throat of the devil. He's a defeated foe. I just want to, you know, Mr. Abinandi, shut up and keep quiet. But we are on this side of heaven, and until we go home, but we are more than conquerors. We are not the weenies. We are not on the losing team in the story. Stop living like you're on the losing team. Can I just because I'm thinking about this now, but when you sit and you wonder whether you are okay, just take a quick, or do a quick check whether your thoughts are based in fear or in faith. Just listen to your language, even if it's in your mind, if you're on your conversation, just listen to your conversation. If the root there, if it looks like fear, just take authority over that thing. Just deal with it right there and get back to faith. All right, this morning I want to share with you. So we've been doing the pause app. Who's been doing the pause app? Who's done with the pause app? Well done. You should have been done already.
Are we supposed to stop or continue this?
Have you finished the 30 days? Have you finished the 30 days? Are you on day 420 already? Okay, well done, Rolf. I mean, please give him some curry so that he can reboot, please. No, we should have been done with the 30 days, but you're obviously welcome to carry on with the other stuff. And I hope you found it helpful. And for those that don't know, we've been going through the Pause app. You can find it on the Play Store. It's also on the announcement page of, if you scan that thing. It's just a tool that we've been using to help us grow close to God. And so in the sermons that followed, except for last week during the fast, we just want to focus or maybe just highlight a few things. And this morning, I'm essentially going to be on the second last week when he starts speaking about Eden. Did Eden confuse you? Hulle gaan niks sê nie. All right, but any case. Hulle is nog nie daar nie. John, that you have to call them out like that now. Sis broer. Okay, so Ephesians 3. The scripture stays with me. I love this. I love the way the NLT says it. The scripture blesses me so much. And Paul's praying for the church of Ephesus, and he prays this powerful prayer, and I love it, and I want to receive it, and I want to continually receive it, and I pray that you will as well. He says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. And can I just say there, I love the fact that He reminds me that God's resources is unlimited, that there is glory when God comes onto the scene. There is no lack, there is no want. And He prays that you and I will actually step right into that. He prays for the Ephesians and He prays for us that we will see that. And that He will empower us in our inner man through the Spirit. You know, flashing back to Romans 8, where we need to walk by the Spirit, He's praying that you and I will not default back to our flesh. You and I will not fall into our old habits and our old way of thinking and our old way of doing, trusting back our own strength, wanting to make our own decisions, trying to figure this life out simply by reasoning what we are doing. He's saying, listen, no, I pray that you will connect with this God with whom there is everything that you need. And may we pray that over one another. May we speak that over one another. May in our small groups and in our interaction with one another, we even pray this and say, man, I pray that you will just encounter God in this way. That unlimited resources of His glory will just pour out over your life. You know why? So that the world will see who God is through your life. God Almighty dwelling within you and me. Come on. And then I love what he says next, or he prays next, is because this is happening, then Christ will make his home in your hearts. You know, when you go to your home and you walk through that door, do you ask anybody permission for what is happening there? This is your house. You just live there. And I love that Jesus then comes in and moves in and makes his home. He dwells, he lives with me, and we are in communion, we are in fellowship. A house is this closed space where you walk out of your room or you turn around, your wife is there, you go like, whoa, she's still here. And I hope it's a good thing. Or your husband. Any case. But it's this, you know, this beautiful picture where Christ moves in and he dwells with you and he eats with you and he cares with you, and it's this intimate fellowship. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Oh, genade. And then he continues, he says, your roots will grow down into God's love, keeping you strong. That picture helps me so much that my roots needs to go. If you go back to the opening slide, Bennett, that is some serious roots, man. Can you see what this tree is after? It's definitely not after the soil on that side. It's after the water. You know, Psalm 1, that tree planted by the rivers of water. This is such a beautiful picture of that, where our roots go in. And when the roots are in the right place, when the roots are drawing strength and nutrients and everything from the right place, the tree is healthy. And it's the same, you know, when we get back to the speech, if my speech is influenced from the wrong roots, that will even kill me. It has the potential to ruin my life. But when my roots are in the right place, when I start drawing from God's word, when I start drawing from his love, when that is the nutrients that I'm drawing from, then the tree looks good. They say, I don't know who they are, but they're apparently very wise. They say that if you want to know what's in a woman or a man, just squeeze them. What comes out when the pressure is on in your life? Sorry for those on the stream. What happens when life squeezes you? What comes out? I guess if I look at this picture, And I'm drawing from the, it should be faith. It should be the word of God. It should be authority. It should be strength. It should be good stuff, good fruit. But when my roots are in the wrong place, in the sewage tank. Now my mind is going and I'm thinking, for those that don't know, I'm a plumber by trade. I did that for 20 years of my life, so I know what that looks like. I've encountered two of those things. But can I just remind you, if we go back to that scripture, that the ultimate, unlimited resources of God is available to you and me. And listen, saints, can I just say, in the light of what's happening in this world, you need to know it's for a time such as this. You want to know why God is saying this? Is because you and I need to draw strength from this when the toughest times are coming. That unlimited resources, God has ordained and has put everything available for you and me to go through whatever this life throws at us. And we are anointed by His Spirit to do so. This is what Paul is praying for. But I guess I want to ask you a question this morning. It says, then Christ will make His home in your heart as you trust Him. Do you trust God? Do you trust Him when things are not looking so good? It's fine to say you trust Him when it's all good and well. But when it goes pear-shaped, when the squeeze is on, can I see that you trust God? More than that, can those that are around you in this world see that your faith is in an almighty God? Do you trust Him with your finances? Do you trust Him with your health? Do you trust Him with your children? Do you trust Him with your very life? We'll see when the heat is on. What happens there? See, when I do trust Him, my roots will grow down deep into His love. Because no relationship can survive mistrust. No husband or wife that dwells in the same house will be there long if they don't trust one another. And if they are not willing to yield to one another, to lay down their lives. And as I trust God, as I grow in that, as I journey with Him, as I pray, you know, and He doesn't answer, and I still keep on praying, and I see that my plans are what His plans, and He's got another way of doing these things, then my trust grows because I get to know Him as the one who's ultimately in control of everything that is going on in my life. That everything that is going on in this world is this incredible relationship. I can tell you, I trust God more now than ever before. Because when I just got saved, I had plans, man. I thought I could do a few things. And then I had to journey these things out with God and grow in that trust. So Genesis 2 verse 8 to 10 says, and the Lord planted a garden in Eden in the east. And there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. Isn't this such an incredible picture? And as you've gone through the pause app, he would have journeyed with you with this, but this place where God creates this space, you know, after He forms man, and I can just, you know, in my mind's eye, I see God going down into the dirt and then foaming at him and blowing that life into him. And then He creates this space, not for him to work at, but for them to dwell in community, for them to be, you know, to see one another, look at one another, to be close to one another. He makes this special place, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to dwell with man. He makes a place of provision. All the trees that they need is there. It's pleasant. It's good to eat. Even the tree of life is there. And I can tell you, they ate of that tree. Because if they didn't, then God wouldn't have said, maybe we should now put angels there and obscure that so that they don't eat from this tree in their sinful state. So they ate from that tree. It was a place where God walked with them. Because after they sinned, God came. And they knew that there's a problem because they have sinned. So they hid themselves and they made leaves and everything. And the very special union between us and God was broken that day. But I can tell you this much, that God's desire and His plan has never changed from that day. That intimate union and communion with man is still on His heart. And you know, as we sit here today, sometimes we don't want to believe that. Especially when the heat is on. When our life is tough, or you know, you're praying through something and God's not answering, then we wonder. But I want to tell you, God's desire is to dwell intimate place with you and me. And John 3:16 is evidence thereof. The fact that God reached the point where He said, I'm going down there. I'm sending my Son to bring this to change. The whole Bible is about that. But then I guess we have to take note of Genesis 3 verse 1. It says, now the serpent was more crafty than other beasts of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree? Now it somewhat changes it, but in any case, in the garden, should not eat of any tree. It's not what God said. Hello? God said the tree is there. It's good for food. So now the devil goes like, you shouldn't eat from any tree. Have you noticed how the devil will change what God has said, even scripture? And therefore it is important that you and I know scripture so that we know when the devil changes it. We know when the world changes it. When someone is using it to try and get their own means or their way. You and I need to know scripture. So we see here that Satan is really about ruining this relationship you and I have to have with God. Definitely ruined it for Adam and Eve right there. That they could not dwell with God anymore. Can you imagine, you know, after they were banished from the garden, how they would have maybe thought back to that. That special times where God actually dwelled with them, walked with them. They were naked. They were unashamed. It was just them and God in this beautiful place. And as we journey through this, you know, the God's desires for us to be naked before Him again. Unashamed. To be a people that is holy before Him. So you and I need to be watchful. We need to be on our guard. Because the devil will always try to hinder you from doing it. And the thing is, when he can't hinder you, he will start pushing you. So many of us can complain about busyness of life. Maybe we should say no to a few things. Practice with me. No. It's an incredible word. It will liberate you. When that boss says, can you stay a bit longer? No. I want to dare you to try it. I dare you to try it. To pull back your life, to pull back your work into its proper boundary. Because we've seen this, and you know this, and I've said this a few times already in the past, that we've just seen how the boundaries of work has completely shifted. People can work remotely, they can work after hours, we've got power, we can just carry on, just say no. And again, I'll testify this because I guess this is my testimony, that I was the only plumber working 8 to 5, Monday to Friday, and my business was blessed more than some of the guys that work 24/7. Don't limit God. Honor Him with your time. Because even as we yield more to the plans of this world for our lives, it ruins what God wants to do through us. It's good for us to recognize, for us to be vigilant, that the devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy. So James 4 verse 7 to 8 says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil. Yeah, but we don't believe that sometimes. Eh? Like, sometimes you just need to stand. You just need to resist him, and he will flee from you. But then verse 8. Okay, that's an awesome scripture, but do verse 8. Verse 8 says, draw near to God. Get in that place of intimacy, and he will draw near to you. Man, when I'm in the presence of Almighty God, this other stuff just kind of fades away. They get to their proper place under the feet of Jesus. Suddenly they lose authority because I have put them, I am with my Father. They are in the right place. They are not in charge. They want to make you believe they're in charge. You get what I'm saying here this morning? Is this resonating with you? Not convincing. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If you have sin in your life, deal with it. Get it out. Don't give the enemy any legal ground in your life. Just deal with these things aggressively. But again, draw near to God in that process. Don't now try and do this on your own. Draw near to God. Get into that place of intimacy. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 9 says, be sober-minded. Be watchful. Maybe just nudge someone there next to you just to make sure they're awake. Be sober-minded. Tell him, be sober-minded. Be watchful. You know, the army understands this. In the army, you would have to stand wach. You would have to be on a tower or somewhere standing guard for the potential assaults of the enemy. Now, my 2 years in the army, there was no assaults. It's boring, man. I just stood there, gazing out over Christmas with to the people who's having so much fun, sitting there in my tower. Rolf, you know. Nah. Who else knows? Who's George. Who else was in the army? Donkey, donkey. Okay, stop three, four. Rolf has done it twice. Any case. But to stand guard is no fun. But you still have to do it. You have to be on your guard for the enemy who can strike at any time. And if he does, there's protocols and things that you have to do to make alarm. So that who comes? The army! Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Stand guard. Shout unto the Lord if you have to, when the enemy comes. But recognize him when he comes. Don't agree with him. You see, you look so powerful. Sometimes I think we do that. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him. Just go again. Resist him. And then go firm. Firm in what? Faith in whom? Faith in what? In your own strength? In your own abilities? In your reasoning? In Google? Resist him. Firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. It's so good to know we're not alone. So here's another tip, quick tip. When you're facing stuff, phone the brotherhood who's facing the same stuff so that you can lock arms and stand together and go, in Jesus' name, no. Because then we have more discernment. Then we move together in authority and in unity and we can resist the devil. And what does he have to do? He's so large as a Floyd man. He has to flee. Okay, another flee. I know Cynthia. I know it's a different flee. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says this. And what union, he listened to this, and what union can there be between God's temple and idols? Come on, saints. You need to ask yourself this question. What is there in my life that are not in union with God, that is actually idols? What is more important than God in my life? What in my world is competing? You are the temple, right? He says, for we are the temple of the living God. And God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. There's some totem poles that needs to be taken out. You need to deal with the idols and the things that's becoming more important to you than what God is. And if there's none, that's awesome. Exodus 40, verse 34 to 38 says this. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. This is where you and I want to dwell. This is how it should be in your life, in my life. Where the presence of God is so thick, so heavy, that no sin can enter into your life. That the very presence of God just touches everything and everybody. Come on, saints. Can I just stir something in your heart for your desire to go deeper with God this morning? And to aggressively stand against sin and idols in our lives. Not to accept what the devil is saying to us, but to resist it. To walk in this place of anointing, man, come on, that our lives will be so full that we cannot stand. It's just awesome. Because the glory of the Lord fills the temple. You know, when God moves into your life, things change. Verse 36 says this, throughout all their journeys, wherever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. Come on, love this. Verse 37, but if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day that it was taken up. So you want to know when to move? Move when the cloud moves. Move when the glory moves. Don't move when it doesn't move. If God doesn't answer you, it's a no. Can I help you? Sometimes we wrestle with God with everything, and you go like, but Kobus, he's quiet. Then it's a no. Then he's saying, still, stay where you are until I move. But sometimes, I've got a plan. And I know how to execute that plan. And then I move, but the glory stays. And then I get where there's no glory. And then I wonder why it's tough. Stay where the glory stays. For the cloud of the Lord, verse 38. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and the fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. May the fire of God burning you by night, so that your dreams and stuff align with his plans and his purposes for you. Do not move if the cloud and the fire does not move. Saints, we have brains. At least some of us. Some of us are still growing into ours. But I'm joking. But I think sometimes our own reasoning and brains is our own worst enemy, because we can reason why we need to go ahead instead of hearing God. Can I just tell you again that God is not a God of vagueness. He's actually a God who is very detailed in his instructions, and you and I just need to hear him. We need to get into the glory. And this picture is such a beautiful picture of where you and I should live. Let the glory fall. You know, when the glory is in the house, when the glory is in that temple, can the devil get in there? Come on. I love Isaiah 58:11, and I'm almost done. He says, the Lord will guide you sometimes. Oh, sorry, that scripture there says that. Okay, the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry. And restoring your strength. Oh, this is true, huh? You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. So if this is not the case, what's missing? If this is not true of my life right now, if I do not see this water, if I do not experience my strength being restored, if I'm not a well-watered garden in the spring, what's missing? The presence of God. The glory of God. In what garden are you then dwelling? The garden of the world? Or are you back in Eden? Are you back in the presence? And John 7, 37 to 38 ends with this. He says, if anyone thirsts, come on, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Let's stand.